Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago. After his passing, I struggled a lot, especially when trying to connect with people about my grief.
I created Teen Grief because I've always wanted a resource that dealt with the specific pain I feel as a teenager. That desire for support and the realization that others may feel the exact same way is what inspired me to create this podcast. I hope that my questions for the experts and guests answer some of yours. This is Teen Grief.
Today I'm speaking with Linda Goldman, a grief therapist who has worked with children, teens, and adults for the past 30 years. She has taught as an adjunct professor at Johns Hopkins University, George Washington University, and the University of Hong Kong. Ms. Goldman has written many resources on grief and loss, including Life and Loss, a guide to help grieving children, Creating Inclusion and Well-Being for Marginalized Youth, and In Press, Climate Change in Youth. Her website is grievingchildren.net, where you can access downloadable articles, including ones about teen grief, and a free memory and storybook, Children Also Grieve. Ms. Goldman, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
For having me, Lulu. This is great.
I know your work is centered around grieving children, so I wanted to ask you questions about advice for teenagers who lost somebody when they were younger and are still grappling with grief. It's been 3 years now since my father died, and my grief isn't as fresh as it was 2 years ago, but the loss is still a big part of my life and identity. My first question for you is, what are ways that grief can change as time passes and life goes on?
Grief changes because grief itself isn't linear, and feelings often come when they're least expected, and they can be very messy. Even though the intensity of the initial grief may have subsided, you could possibly be at a movie or out with a person where an idea or something that they were talking about triggers a huge emotional response that you didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And we call it a grief bullet because you can be hit with it when you really didn't expect it. And then what do you do if you're with someone that you feel like you can't share that with? I know that kids and teenagers tend to re-grieve at different developmental stages. And you mentioned that your dad had died at 13 and that it's really hard for you when his birthday comes up. You sort of want to be able to talk to someone about it, but your friends haven't been through the depth of what you've been through. Mm-hmm. And so it's very hard to find someone of like mind with like experience, which is why I value what you're doing, Lulu, because it's for all the young people out there that feel those common signs of grief, of isolation, that nobody will understand. And you are creating a forum for young people to be able to express themselves. You know, Mr. Rogers says, what is mentionable is manageable. And if we can talk about it, then we can express it and we feel better. But if it's closed off, it gets very difficult.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue with this because you mentioned that your dad died. And after a little while, you still felt these feelings but didn't know who to talk to. Another factor in grieving for kids who become teens and young adults is how the family system grieves after the person dies. In some families, 3 years later, nobody's talking about the person that died. In other families, they've created a whole nonprofit memorial for cancer if mom has died of cancer. I had a little girl whose mother had died, and dad brought her in for grief therapy. Maybe 2 years later, she wanted to see me again. And she came in, she was extremely angry. She was walking around the office. And I said, you're so angry, why don't you try and write it down? She wrote down, I don't want you to go out with her. I'm afraid I'll lose you too. And what was happening is dad had started to date.
Uh-huh.
And, the woman's name was the same as her mom's.
Oh, wow.
And it was just too hard for her, but she had no way to express it. Yet she knew she had to get it out. So by me saying, just write whatever is on your mind, it allowed her to get that out. And then we could talk to dad about it. But it gets hard and it gets complicated. I had one family where a younger sibling died. She was 5 years old. Every year on her birthday, the family would go from breakfast, lunch, and dinner and eat all the foods that she really liked. And it was their way of remembering her. So that was really sweet. And families are very creative about thinking of their own rituals. Wherever I go, whatever country I go to, they ask the same question. How long does grief last? And I say, as long as you love that person, there are going to be times when you grieve that person and you miss that person. I'm grateful in my life for the one or two people that I can say at any time, I miss the person that died. I want to talk about my person that died. I want to share my memories. My own, one of my huge death experiences in life was having a stillborn baby, Jennifer. And we got to see her, we got to hold her, but we never really got to live life with her. But every year, and now she would be 38, I remember her day, I celebrate her day, I light a candle for her, and that's something that we all can do. So I could keep talking about this question because it's a good one, but I don't know if you want to go on.
Well, it leads very nicely into my next question, which is, how can you balance moving forward and still remembering the person you lost? Because I know that I struggle sometimes with feeling guilty when it doesn't hurt as much as it used to on a certain day, or when I feel sad instead of happy when I go through major life events like learning to drive. Are there things that help this inner turmoil where you feel like you're fighting with yourself and your own emotions?
Well, one thing is clear. Exactly what you're verbalizing is very normal. It's a common sign of grief. Mm-hmm. If I stop feeling bad about my person, I won't feel attached to my person. Yeah. I won't have that person. And that's not going to happen. But it is a way of keeping them close. But what you've done, which is so miraculous, creative, and resilient, is I'm going to take my love for my dad and my missing my dad and become active in helping others who are going through the same thing. I have found for myself, and I love this little cliche phrase that while you're busy helping others, God's busy helping you. And, you know, I think we lose ourselves when we think about others. And certainly, you are never going to forget your dad.
Definitely.
And I'll never forget my daughter, Jennifer. But I don't feel like I need to bring myself to that sadness for her to know wherever she is how much I love her. Because love is present, love is constant, and every time you send your dad a loving thought, who knows, he might receive that thought somewhere, somehow. And so I think the love is what matters, and I think the love will not go away. And I think it's important to stress to your peers that it's so common to feel like that. And often it takes away from life because you want to hold on to that person that's not there.
That's really important. I think what you said about how sadness doesn't have to be the way that you hold on to them, that hit me very hard. It was like a light bulb in my head. So thank you for saying that.
Well, because it's true, isn't it? Like, you can be so happy thinking about your dad.
Definitely.
Yeah, and why not? He would love it. And when you think about your father, all he wants you to do is feel good and remember whatever you want to remember, you know. But I'm glad it's a light bulb. It's a light bulb. It's permission to say it's okay, that not every thought can be preoccupied, and you'll love that person just as much.
Thank you. So we've talked about peers and peer support a lot, and how sometimes you have those one or two people who you always can reach out to. And I know I have a friend like that, and it's incredibly helpful. But then there are also your peers who, as you grow up, you meet more and more people, and the new people in your life don't even know that this has happened to you. So that's something that I kind of struggle with sometimes when I make new friends, get close to new friends, and then don't even know how to breach this topic with them.
Well, I love the question, and I'm not sure there's just one answer for it.
Yeah.
But it's a good one, because I think at the end of the day from your question, before we get into it, you have to realize you always have a choice, that you don't need to tell anyone anything about yourself. You feel ready to do it. And then you choose wisely, because it's a very sacred space. The space that you share with your dad and your feelings about your dad are precious. So you want to go lightly into bringing up the topic with someone else, because you don't want to be judged and you don't want to hear cliches. You just want a sacred space for a listener to have a heart to hear your experience. And, you know, it's funny when I'm thinking of this incident that happened to a junior high school boy at school. He was on a sports team, and his coach said to him, "Isn't your father going to be here today for the playoffs?" And the boy said, "No, he had to work today. Actually, dad had died a year ago, and the school had failed to tell this coach that the father had died." And so he did not want to begin that subject, nor did he want to be hit with that grief bullet that we talked about for a big game. So it's that precious communication that's very tender and also needs to be respected. And because one thing about grieving young people is they want to feel normal. They don't want to feel different. And so that boy didn't want to feel different that day. That's the other thing about having support groups, where you know that you have kids your age that you can talk to about the same kind of experience. Right now, this is a support group for many. I mean, I don't know how many come to your wonderful podcast, but I know that they would benefit from it, because it's a hard topic. But it's important, and we should own our grief and own our experience and not let anyone minimize it.
Definitely. And I know I've done what that boy has done quite a few times. So it can be just very hard to take the step and say, this happened to me and it was terrible in
exactly
situations.
One situation where somebody says something where it might be the response, you might not be ready at that moment, because we change every minute of the day to express what happened, maybe at another time. You have to have enough faith in yourself that if you're ready to talk about it, it's there. But if you're not, it's okay to not be ready and just move on to another subject.
Thank you. Ms. Goldman, if you had any final, most important pieces of advice you would want to offer my listeners, what would it be?
It would be to honor yourself and honor your grief. And remember that there's no space more sacred than the space of a grieving person. It brings people to the depth of who they are and often changes them in the most beautiful ways. When I have young people come in and say, "I'll never get through this. I know I'm never going to get through this." I look at them and say, "I know you will. I know that you will get through it and come out in a space that can be resilient again." And I think one thing that you have to offer your viewers is the hope and the recognition that they will get through it, just like you are. And getting through it doesn't mean never feeling bad again. Because when you graduate and your dad's not there, you might miss him for a moment. You might cry that morning and then go to the graduation and feel like you're bringing him with you. So it's that kind of a thing. It's universal and it's so unique to each person. And there is no right or wrong way to grieve, because everybody's a unique individual. So is their grief. I think that's what I'll leave you with.
Thank you, Ms. Goldman, for your time and insight, especially that last part.
Thank you. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief.